Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Oh, hey, iPod. Nice.
Yeah, it's just a little something to hold my slow jams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it works so seamlessly with iTunes.
You should check out iMovie, iPhoto, iWeb, because they all work like iTunes. You know, oh. iLife. Comes on every Mac.
iLife. Well, I have some very cool apps that are bundled with me.
Well, like, what do you got?
Calculator.
That's yeah. cool. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Clock.
Sounds like hours of fun.
Yeah.
Or at least minutes.
Hello, and welcome to the CoolCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, joining me today. He's pretty, like a delicate flower. Also, he's now writing for Tech Insider, and I miss him so much. Alex E. Heath is joining us today. Alex,
hey.
How's my true feelings about you?
Hey, it's good to be back.
Thank
I've
you.
Been hearing some things about me on the show.
All good things.
Uh-huh.
Because we miss you. Also yeah. joining us, he's rugged. He's like a modern day Paul Bunyan. He's also Cult Max news editor, Buster Haney is here. Hey, Buster.
Hey, what up?
I miss you too.
Ah, oh, thanks.
Always.
Physically.
And finally, he's the prince of Instagram. We call him the Princetagram. Corey Stoddicker is here.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Corey, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, guys.
When was the last time you were on? I know I always ask you this, but it hasn't been as long as the last time we had you on. It's been
whenever I wasn't on.
Yeah,
it's been a couple months.
Has it? Okay. We try to keep you separate from Alex.
I know.
Because Alex is such a creeper. We want you to get spooked and never come back.
That's true.
Yeah, I hear he stalks me at night.
He does. Yeah, that's actually true. You should be concerned about that.
That's why I asked you where you lived.
Like 25 times. And by the way, you haven't replied yet. Corey has, I'm going to guess here, Corey, 600,000? I know I'm close. Instagram followers now?
I think it's 600 million.
600 million yeah. Instagram followers now. That is truly amazing. How many are you actually at?
575.
Wow.
You're at 577.
77.
Alex knows the exact number. Don't you worry. He knows exactly what you're at. Corey is at With Hearts on Instagram if you want to check him out. Poster of so many beautiful photos. And we're going to be talking a little bit about how he does it. We actually have an episode fully recorded from some time ago. I'll post it in the show notes where we just talked about how he edits his photos and everything and posts those to Instagram in case you want to learn some of his secret tips. But I've got some more questions for you today, Corey. So we'll be asking you some of those. Also, we'll be talking about this week's best Apple news, of which there is some, not really a whole lot. We pulled a couple of Alex's mediocre publishings from Tech Insider. We'll be covering those.
Whatever. You know what I write about is the only thing that's important.
You've got some good new features from iOS 9.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There is some good iOS 9 stuff.
Yeah, so you did. You put out some good stuff this week, so we'll be talking about that. And if you stay tuned till the end, we will be revealing some of our most favorite apps currently. I think we'll do like two each, guys, just kind of do a round table of our most used apps. And Alex has promised that he has some good ones, but we'll see. We'll see what you actually have, Alex, if they're good mm-hmm. or not. Before we hop into all the fun and festivities, I do want to say thank you to Automatic for supporting this episode. I have an automatic dongle in my car, and it's a little hardware piece that you plug in, and it unlocks all the secret data tracked by your car. And once you have this thing plugged in, it will show you via the Automatic app, which is free, where you've been, your gas mileage based on your actual driving habits and the gas prices in your area. And when you're driving too fast, it will chirp at you. It will chirp at you when you brake too hard so that you actually don't drive like a maniac, which should help you save money on gas. Check it out, automatic.com/cult. That's automatic.com/cult. The automatic dongle is usually $100, but you can get it for $80 at automatic.com/cult. I also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace is like the Apple of web hosts. They make it so simple to get set up with a beautiful website quickly. You could build a blog. You could build a website to host your artistic or photographic work. You could build a cover page, which is basically just a one-page website that has a big, beautiful image and just displays a picture of you or your work. And it's just a great way to have a web presence on the web, and you can also get your own URL. We've used Squarespace for quite a long time. The cultcast.com uses Squarespace, and cultcloth.co, which is where we built our e-commerce store for the Cult Cloth. And one of the great things about Squarespace is it's so easy to have contributors join you in your work. So one of our beloved listeners is actually updating the cultcast.com with our show notes. By the way, if you want to see show notes, go to the cultcast.com. You can see all things that we've talked about, links, different topics, and that's all hosted on Squarespace. And we use Squarespace because we set up a contributor, which is one of our listeners, and he goes in and builds a beautiful post. It takes no time at all because Squarespace is so easy to use. Plus, they make your website look great on any device that visits. Squarespace is the way to go. If you need a website and you don't want to spend a ton of time coding or hire a developer, definitely check out squarespace.com. Use code CULTCAST at checkout and you'll get 10% off your first order. It could be a year of service or a month of service. Squarespace.com, and the code is CULTCAST. Thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Corey.
Yes.
You're getting married in a month.
I am.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And is the whole thing going to be documented on Instagram?
It's, yeah. So we have a photographer, and it's going to be like a big Insta meet with all my Instagram friends.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of close friends, photographer friends that are Instagrammers.
That's great. And so for one day, are everyone on Instagram is just going to be posting pictures of your wedding?
Yeah, the funny thing is, there's no cell service where we're getting married.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my gosh. Are you allowed to do that?
Repeaters.
No, it's in the middle of the woods. The only way that we could is like one of those pop-up cell tower type boxes.
Yeah.
That they use for firefighters, but you know, that costs way too much. So,
what's your this is really important. What's your wedding hashtag going to be?
So it's going to be hashtag Bethany, my fiance's name, and with hearts. Bethany with hearts.
Bethany with hearts.
I was wondering. Okay. Yeah, that is creative. I was going to say, because people usually do like really, I guess, like to the point hashtags that aren't like super creative, or they make them really fun. And it seemed like you guys would have a fun one.
You do have a fun one.
So people are, will Snapchat and Instagram, but it'll just be like you have to be there to really experience it. But then we're gonna launch like a video too and kind of show the wedding and stuff. So
wow, where are you gonna?
We had a crazy engagement wedding video too that was cool. So
where are you gonna post the video? Is it gonna be on YouTube or something?
Yeah, so it will probably be on my youtube.com/withheartsco.
Okay, let me ask you. So I know when you got started with Instagram, you were using primarily your iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you still primarily mobile? Because your photos, the dynamic range in them is so crazy. I can't imagine you're still primarily using your iPhone. Are you using an SLR now?
Mostly, yeah. So I use SLR and then sometimes iPhone. Depends on the photo or, you know, where I'm at. But yeah, I think the quality is so close to each other that, I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell it apart, but yeah, I still shoot a lot with my iPhone still too.
Oh, you do still shoot a lot with your iPhone?
Yeah.
Are you going to be upgrading to the 6S when it comes out?
Of course, yeah.
Just automatic, just to
get the camera. I hear is supposed to be a big upgrade. So
Yeah. So when you're out there taking pictures and stuff with your SLR, do you just kind of take a bunch of different pictures and then show, or when you get home, kind of go through all of them and then over a period of time end up posting those? Is that kind of how your workflow works?
Yeah, so I kind of see it more as like an art gallery type situation on my Instagram. So it's less like in the moment, like hanging out like Snapchat. But so I'll, you know, shoot a bunch. If I like, you know, certain photos on phone or DSLR better, you know, just depends on the photo. And I don't know, I like to mix it up.
Sorry, I just barked. I was like, I can't just not say anything about that. I have a dog here. And the dog barked. So what are you using these days to edit? And I should caveat that with, if you're going to be giving any of these away in the apps that you use at the end of the show, you should probably not mention them now. Do you have anything that you're not going to mention at the end of the show, but you would like to mention now as far as tools that you're using to
edit? I can go into my workflow a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. It's been a while since we talked to you, so I'd be interested to hear if anything has changed.
Yeah, I have a video YouTube course on learnmobilephotography.com. Uh-huh. That I do. Mm-hmm. That's basically like the basics of, you know, how to take a good photo with light and what to look for, how to edit. You know, nowadays I use Visco still a lot to edit. I like the more film look, so mm-hmm. use that. I still use FilterStorm for like retouching, cropping. Whiteagram is good to mm-hmm. add the white borders because I switched it up and started doing that.
Whiteagram, okay. Mm-hmm.
Hold on, before we go any farther, can we talk about the border situation? Because this is a thing I've been noticing with popular Instagrammers. They're all doing this white border thing, and it was like kind of a thing I feel like a year or two ago. Like among,
can you describe what you mean by a white border thing? I don't even know what you guys are talking
like
about
to where right it's now. So usually an Instagram photo is one. Yeah, where it's not a square, it's not one by one. Square so, like, problem. If you want, yeah, so if you want to have a widescreen photo, you have to have a white border at the top and bottom of the photo to have it fit. And
you described it made it sound like this is some huge scandal. You're like, can we talk about this?
No, I mean, it's just a thing I've noticed.
I mean, because I feel like some are like, yeah, you got to stay true to the square on Instagram. And
you're a squarist. Okay.
What's your thought on that?
I was a square person.
You were.
I'm so sorry. Doing one-to-one a lot for my photos, but when I got a 6, 6 plus, mm-hmm. And most people are on now the 6 or 6 plus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole reason why I didn't, because of resolution and, you know, for the photo, Instagram just bumped that up. So I think it's a lot easier to, you know, see the whole photo. And I like the aspect ratio. So landscape or portrait, I think you're broaden up photography wise, so you can do more things than just a square kind of crop. So
yeah, cool.
Buster, are you a squarist or?
Dude, well, I go back and forth all the time, you know, because I feel like sometimes you get more likes if it's a straight up square rather than cropping it. I really do, because like mm-hmm. some people can see it better and uh-huh. they're like, oh yeah, uh-huh. that's better rather than, but you know, some very, very popular Instagrammers don't use the square anymore either. So
yeah, it's something I've noticed. It seems like it happened in the last like 6 months. Like everyone started doing it all of a sudden, to where it's just kind of free, like free form in terms of what you do with borders. And I just wish that, like, I know Instagram just upgraded the resolution of its images to where they're actually closer to original resolution.
Yeah,
on the server side, you can't really tell in the app. You can tell on the web, but I guess it's just, I just wonder if that like makes a photo, I don't know. To me, when I see a photo that's like widescreen, that's been like white border chopped on the ends, it's like I like the aesthetic of it, but it's like you can't see as much of it. So I wish Instagram wasn't the square still. I wish they let you do more.
Yeah, I wish they'd let you tap on a photo and view the whole thing full screen.
Yeah,
instead. Well, yeah. It would be super simple for them to do something like that too.
Yeah, I think they're going to stick with the squares, though.
Yeah.
I think the hardest part for me about posting to Instagram is not taking the photos or editing or anything like that, but just staying true or remaining consistent aesthetically. So one of the things about your feed, Corey, that you do really well is all your photos have a very similar feel to them. And it's not like, oh, here's a beautiful picture from like the Olympic Mountains, and then, oh, here it's like my mac and cheese. This is really good. You know, yeah. It's like you're not posting pictures from your life on there very often, I don't feel.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to bring more personality into it, like noticing after it, like having like some YouTube friends, and they're kind of encouraging me to, you know, do more vlogs and more personality stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we're incorporating more like vlogs and, like weekly vlogs into kind of what we do. So that's been fun sharing that and like doing like little video snippets, started to do that. So yeah, it's been cool.
Isn't that kind of what Snapchat is for now too? I feel like if you're, it's like you're if you're a social media person, you know, air quotes, like everybody's kind of starting to gravitate towards Snapchat. Like I see another thing is like popular Instagrammers putting their Snapchat handle in the location tag of photos, 'cause it's like a way to drive attention to it. But I feel like Snapchat is so difficult to like, it makes adding new people so difficult that I imagine that like getting new users is not as rapid as it is on Instagram or even like Twitter.
Snapchat is a way to like share your double chin photos and just be goofy. You know what I mean?
I don't have those, but continue.
Yeah, it's been cool to like use that and like interact with people. And like I did like a thing on Snapchat where like I asked randomly at night for everyone to send me a double chin photo.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
Literally like hundreds and hundreds of people sent me double chin photos. So I was like just posting them and like interacting with them in new ways is kind of fun. So
how many views do your snaps get now? Because you can't see how many people follow you, right? But you can see how many view it.
Yeah, it goes up and down. You know,
like hundreds, around, thousands?
Like thousands, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Millions?
Millions? Way more than yours, Alex.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to say, but I mean.
Well, definitely more than mine.
You have to be different on different platforms. It's, I don't know. It's kind of weird. There's like codes and.
Well, so like you found a way to monetize Instagram, and it seems like people are finding a way to monetize Snapchat too. Like there's certain people that have, you know, like Taco Bell will be like, you know, eat a taco in a Snapchat or whatever. And I mean, that does happen.
Yeah. So I know. You're totally right.
And the money's like good. I mean, people are making thousands of dollars per snap because the engagement is so high. I mean, you have like, if you have 15,000 people that are viewing your snap for 8 seconds, like that's crazy engagement. And I just wonder what that's going to look like in a year, if there's going to be a ton of like native advertising in Snapchat.
And it's very in the moment, you know what I mean? It goes away in 24 hours. That's the beauty of it. You know, you can be you know, share a double chin photo and, you know, if people screenshot it, that's cool. But like, you know, it's instant, it's in the moment. You know, it's not meant to live on, you know, beyond one day. So
So
I'm grossly Snapchat illiterate, I have to admit.
Why aren't you on Snapchat?
I am on Snapchat, but I'll tell you what happened is I created a Snapchat account and I was just trying to get on there quick, and I don't know who took at Airfon, but it was already gone. So I was like, oh, I'll just choose something stupid just so I can check out the service. And then when I did that, I was like, oh, I can't change it now. So I need to delete my account and go back and actually choose a username that I actually want. That's why I haven't been using it. But also, I just never really saw a lot of appeal for Snapchat. It's changed a lot, hasn't it, since it first was introduced?
I mean, the basic design of the app hasn't changed. They've added stuff. They've added Discover, which is like their kind of take on news.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in the air right now as to whether that's going to be a success or not. I don't know. Snapchat wants to be an entertainment company. They don't really want to be, at least right now, they are a social media company, but they want to just be entertainment in general. Mm-hmm. So they're trying all kinds of weird things. Like you can do a ton of stuff in Snapchat that I don't think people really realize. Like you can send money in Snapchat with Square Cash.
That is totally wacky to me.
No, it's not. If you want the nudes, man, you gotta pay.
That's a good point. Now I feel silly.
I mean, and there's just a lot of random stuff like that that's like baked in. Like there's actually a live video streaming feature built into Snapchat for like one-on-one. It's basically like FaceTime. Like Snapchat has its own version of FaceTime built inside the messaging component that like no one really knows about because it's super hard to get to. But it's there. So they just have all these weird ways of communicating, and I think they're just experimenting. But
it sounds like Snapchat is like that Chinese food restaurant that also serves like pizza and hamburgers.
That's
and
actually
stuff.
Really
and you're like
analogy.
You're like, how many freaking genres do you have here? Are you gonna cram it all into one menu? That's what I hear when you're describing it to me.
But I mean, Snapchat is like poised to be bigger than Twitter really soon. I mean,
what?
They're just blown.
That's hard to believe.
They're
hopefully
blowing
Twitter
up.
Doesn't sell.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Twitter sells to Google, who knows? But or Alphabet, sorry.
Get your names right.
ABC.
So, Alex, what are you using Snapchat for? Are you using it pretty frequently?
Mostly nudes.
Okay. No, are you trying to send those to me? Because I keep getting notifications from you.
I don't know, man. I think Snapchat is great for what Corey said, like being in the moment and like just communicating with people like directly and just sharing like 10 seconds of your life, like something cool that you like if I'm on the train on the way home and I have a cool view for 10 seconds, I'll just snap it just because I feel compelled to. And it's a weird, I mean, it's a generational thing. I feel like maybe I'm like, I mean, Irfan, you're like really old and I'm not. So
I'm only 70 years old.
So like you're
I have a lot of life left in me.
Yeah, I mean you're not my generation, I guess technically. Uh-huh. So, but I think with like, and especially the generation that's younger than me, like the teenagers right now, they are like all about it, and it's all about just like living in the moment. Snapchat's this really, it's this really like experiential. Like social media used to be about like recording something and like having it live in an album, like on Facebook, like a photo album. And I think now it's just about like the experience, like in the moment. It's not about going back and looking. It's about like what's happening right now.
Yeah. I mean, like photos, especially with Snapchat, they're used to talk. They're not used to like capture moments of history. So it's like different, you know, this younger generation is using photos, you know, selfies or, you know, random stuff with emojicons or, you know, on it to, you know, actually communicate more than, you know, like photos were used for memories, you know, or, you know, feelings within a photo. So,
It's really interesting. And it wouldn't have been possible until now when we have these phones with cellular connections that can support this and like high res cameras. It's something that could, that only was able to happen at this point in time, but I think it's always been there, that like experiential, like living in the moment kind of desire. But
it's also good for nudes, as you said.
Yeah. And the nudes, obviously.
Corey, are you still making your living doing photography, you know, kind of around and via Instagram?
Yeah.
Wow. So this is what people don't realize about Corey. So there's a whole group of photographers who actually get paid to do photography on Instagram. How does that whole thing work, Corey? Like, what does it look like? I know you work for an agency.
Yeah. And so some of like the photographers that were early on, you know, were commercial photographers that, you know, actual photographers, and they started doing it on Instagram. So, you know, all of us kind of, I came into it like from design and, you know, just kind of grew over through the platform. So then, they started an agency. I was, you know, lucky enough to be a part of that as that started and the kind of movement started with kind of like social media influencer based projects with all these agencies. So yeah, we're doing a lot of cool campaigns and social media campaigns and shooting for brands, and yeah, it's been awesome.
What does that look like? So I know you worked with Acura. Can you talk about some of your other campaigns that you worked on, and like what do they have you do?
Yeah, so it's random. You know, all these agencies are looking at new ways to advertise more direct to an audience. You know, TV is, you know, not, they're realizing none of these kids are actually on TV, you know, watching TV. They're on
or like way clever, you know,
Snapchat
and like,
or Instagram. So they're, you know, cool campaigns that kind of show the brand. So I did one recently with Saint Germain and Uber. So they basically deliver, you could like within the Uber app deliver a bike tender that would come to your house and make cocktails on this like sweet bike for all your friends. So it's not for young kids, but it's like still like cool creative campaigns mixed in with social media. So
do they have you take over their Instagram feeds, or are you mainly posting these in your own Instagram?
Some do, you know, some like 76, I did a road trip with them. I did, a campaign with Wired magazine and Swiss Army Knife, where I went to Switzerland and, met the founders that started the pocket knife. Their family. I mean, we've done stuff with Gap where we, you know, just basically were paid to take photos of us. Me and my fiance.
Sounds tough. Yeah.
Yeah. Nordstrom's. We were on Nordstrom's for Valentine's Day. So yeah, it's weird, like different influencer type projects that are coming about. And it's cool to be a part of that, you know, forefront of that kind of new advertisement trend.
Yeah, so. I'm super envious.
If you would like to read more of Corey's experiences, please go to techinsider.io. I was going to bring that up. I wrote this. Everything he's been saying is great, and that's like I've been really interested in this lately. So, and that all that is like, it's just crazy that that exists now, and like that an app has kind of made all that happen. I guess for people, like. Another friend of mine, famous Instagrammer, he was in Nicaragua with his girlfriend, and the hotel owner heard about his account and was like, hey, man, we'll let you stay for free if you like Instagram the place. And like that's like a normal occurrence for people that
have huge
followers.
Well, Alex, didn't you also write about didn't they have a Mercedes sponsored them and said whoever got the most engagement could.
Yeah. Corey, were you part of that campaign? Because that was a Tinker campaign.
Yeah. I helped my friend Michael O'Neill. Location scout for his. It was like one of the first kind of social campaigns through Instagram. So
yeah, so that was, I was talking to Chris Ozer, who's a friend of Corey's, and he won the car. So basically, Mercedes was like gave, I guess I forget how many Instagrammers a car for a week, and the rule was like post a certain amount of photos per day, and then the Instagrammer who gets the most likes at the end of the week gets to keep the car. And awesome. Chris won, and he kept the car. I don't know.
Are you still friends with that guy, Corey?
Yeah, he. Well, the funny thing is, he lives in New York, so it's like super expensive to like
actually
keep
have
a car
in
New York. So, yeah.
Not to mention, you probably have to pay the taxes on a $60,000 car when Mercedes just gives it to you.
Yeah.
What a jerk! You shouldn't even hang out with that guy anymore. I can't believe he stole that car from you. You rightfully deserve that. So if you want to read more about the experiences of professional Instagrammers, we'll link Alex's article in the show notes, and then also they'll be available on thecultcast.com. I read that article, Alex. It was quite good. I was highly entertained.
Thank
good
you, job. BB.
Yeah, you're welcome. And, you know, Corey, one of these days we should have you on for a Cultcast second hour, and we can get really in-depth and talk about – I always – every time I talk to you, I feel like I come away with more questions. And
yeah,
really,
mystery.
He's an enigma.
It's unbelievable that you're getting paid to do what you are doing. And even more so when you realize that you started on Instagram and then you ended up getting popular because you were posting, you know, good photos. And then you met your now fiance on Instagram, who you're now going to marry and document the entire ceremony on Instagram. It's like, dude. You are so.
It's crazy,
It's totally wacky.
I mean, like to other people, they like it's just it blows their mind. Like I did a YouTube video of our engagement, and then that got on like the Today Show and like all these random news places because it's like so like what the heck, you know, this new generation how they interact and meet people.
These newfangled millennials.
I know.
Snake people.
And now you're moving, we were talking before the show, you're moving to LA now to really kind of pursue more Instagram photography. I guess photography in general, I would guess.
Yeah, I want to, my goal is to bring Justin Bieber into the landscapes and just take some epic photos with, you know,
Justin
some
Bieber.
Celebs.
Yeah, Justin Bieber, I mean, enough said. Let me know if you need an assistant.
So you didn't take the one of him when he was in Australia and he like showed his butt off on the boat? It wasn't
you. Yeah, can't confirm or deny.
Come on, man.
Dude, I need to get a copy of that.
Missed opportunity.
Sure.
Missed opportunity.
Dude, you got to get me that in high res. Okay, let's move on to some Apple news. Alex, why don't you talk about some new features that we're going to be getting in iOS 9?
Yeah, iOS 9 has some juicy bits. Have you guys been running it on your phone?
I have not. Yeah,
I have.
Have you, Buster? I know you have.
No.
Are you serious?
I've been
abstaining
from the betas this time.
Yeah. Really? Why? Why are you doing that, Buster?
Because they always F up your phone and all the apps. And it's always buggy.
I agree with you. They usually do. But you always wait until the third beta. I mean, you've been doing this long enough. You know this. So I just installed like the last beta, and it's actually awesome. It's like rock solid. It's never crashed once.
Wow.
It's actually the best pre-release beta I've ever used in terms of like reliability, like all my apps work and everything. It's amazing. But anyway, iOS 9 has some sweet stuff. It's got a built-in flight tracker, which is like really cool. So if you have like a flight number in like the Notes app or messages, you can just tap it and preview the flight, and it shows you a trajectory of the flight, your arrival time, your departing time, all of that.
Is this going to be similar to where you have something in an email, like a phone number or something, and it creates like a like contextual link and you can press it?
So that's part of, it's part of the new Siri, the proactive Siri that kind of recommends stuff based on your habits. So it's trying to be more like Google Now in terms of like contextual awareness. And it's pretty good. It's not great yet, but it's okay.
It's going to be interesting to see how that works, because oftentimes flight numbers are just simple 4-digit, you know, numbers. Right.
Well, you have to have the airline prefix at the beginning. So like for Delta, it's DL and then the number.
So it makes it easy for them to tell if it's a flight or a year.
And another iOS 9 feature is really cool. It's called Wi-Fi Assist, where we've all had the problem where you're on crappy Wi-Fi and it's like really slow and you have to turn it off to switch on to cellular. Well, Wi-Fi Assist in settings in iOS 9 will automatically kick back to cellular when your Wi-Fi connection gets weak, which is awesome.
This is cool, but also dangerous.
Yeah, well, I'm on the unlimited T-Mobile, and it's actually awesome. So,
oh, you are? Okay. Yeah, I'm limited. So for me, I think this would be really great if you are, you know, passing a Wi-Fi network. Because, you know, what always happens is your phone connects to a Wi-Fi network, and then you're too far away for it to actually give you any data. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go in and switch it off. But, you know, sometimes in your own house, for whatever reason, like your Wi-Fi just won't operate very quickly. And then if your phone were to go ahead and switch to LTE and you're like watching Netflix or something.
Yeah, that's true. You got to be careful.
That could be bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it would tell you that it's switched, or does it just automatically do it in the background?
It does it in the background. It's kind of tricky.
You could turn it off.
You can turn it off. It's a setting. It's off by default. I don't know if you think this is cool, Corey, but actually the coolest thing I've thought about that's in iOS 9 is the deep linking, which is like, if you're in an app and then you go to another app, it has a little shortcut at the top of the
back
menu
bar. Back to Twitter and stuff.
Yeah. So it's like back to Tweetbot or back to the app that you were just in. So like if you open a link in a Twitter app, go to Safari, and then you want to go back to the Twitter app, before you would have to double tap the home button, swipe back. Now there's just a link in the menu bar that says back to Twitter. And if you tap that, it takes you right back.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. So it's a bunch of little stuff. This is kind of like a Snow Leopard release. I mean, it's all under the hood, and there's just a few things here and there. But the little things are nice. They add up.
Are you going to update to the 6S when it comes out, Alex?
Yeah, because as part of this T-Mobile thing, I can actually upgrade 3 times a year for free.
What? Who would ever need to update 3 times a year?
I don't know, but it's their new jump thing where you pay $10 a month, and that includes phone insurance, which is a great deal.
Nice.
But that's off contract, so that gives you the ability to jump up 3 times a year. So
three times a year.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I'm actually writing a post about this for Tech Insider, but if you live in like a city that T-Mobile is good in, so like any big urban city, I'm guessing Seattle would be included. There's really no reason to not do T-Mobile anymore, because it's gotten so good, and it's so cheap. It's like unlimited data. I have unlimited data for like $80 a month.
Wow. And they're like the only progressive telecom there's out there.
Well, Verizon just got rid of contracts because of T-Mobile. So Verizon just like announced that it's like not doing traditional contracts anymore. It's only going to be doing the monthly installments.
Yeah.
And that this is all because of T-Mobile. And yeah, man, I was really skeptical at first, but I switched when I moved to New York, and in New York, it's awesome. It's like actually faster than AT&T.
I wonder how good it is here in Seattle. It's probably good in like the greater Seattle, or the central Seattle area, but in greater Seattle, I kind of wonder how well it actually works.
Well, and another thing is T-Mobile will let you borrow an iPhone for a week and try it for free. Like
really?
No strings attached.
Wow.
Yeah. So they'll give you an iPhone 5 and be like, if you want to test our service, you know, have this for a week. So there's no reason to not try.
Yeah, they're not getting that iPhone 5 back. Thanks. Peace. Actually, I would just need to get the SIM card, because I actually have a T-Mobile compatible iPhone. So
yeah,
I'm already halfway there. Buster, as long as we're talking about 6S, are you thinking you're going to update when it comes out, or are you sticking with your 6?
Yeah, I'll probably update, and I'll probably switch over to T-Mobile Sprint.
Wow.
Do you have friends in Phoenix that use it, Buster?
I don't have anybody on T-Mobile, but I do have people on Sprint. They're always, it sucks. And I imagine T-Mobile is the same, though.
Yeah, at least half of the BI office uses T-Mobile. Like, everybody in New York uses it. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's when it works, I think it works really well, but oftentimes I feel like their coverage is lacking. I'm not sure if I'm going to get a 6S. I'm really on the fence, quite honestly.
You're
going to
get a 6C.
I'm definitely going for the 6C. We have to wait to see what actually is presented to us, right?
Would you get it?
Like the camera upgrades, yeah. Big enough,
yeah. Or anything else, or if it doesn't bend.
Oh, what a master segue!
Oh,
you're trying to take us into. But actually, before we talk about this next story, because our old pal Lewis Helsentinger got his hands on what looks to be a 6S back, and he did a bunch of tests on whether or not Apple has beefed up the zone where the current iPhone would bend. But before we continue, I want to say thank you to SoftLayer for supporting this episode. SoftLayer is an IBM company. Isn't that crazy? SoftLayer is an IBM company. Here they are supporting an Apple podcast. Steve Jobs would be proud. SoftLayer delivers a cloud built to compete. And what does that mean for you? Well, some workloads need to scale up and down quickly, and they benefit from virtual servers in a public cloud environment. Some workloads need the raw power of bare metal or dedicated servers for computer storage intensive tasks. SoftLayer is one of the only cloud providers that provisions bare metal servers and virtual servers from a single seamless platform, all on demand, all connected to the same open API, all connected to a global private network. And SoftLayer is an IBM company, and it's the cloud infrastructure foundation of all IBM cloud products and services. And all of our listeners have the opportunity to get $500 of cloud infrastructure by visiting softlayer.com/podcast. You can order bare metal servers, virtual servers, storage, networking, security services, in your choice of 24 data centers all around the world. That is softlayer.com, softlayer.com/podcast to get started with your $500 off servers, storage, network, and security on a cloud built to compete from SoftLayer. Okay, our pal Lou Helsentinger, aka Unbox Therapy on YouTube, he's back at it. This guy, man. He's got his sources. Actually, he's connected with Sonny Dixon.
Did you know he was the official YouTube partner for the Samsung event today?
Was he?
I did not know that. No.
Yeah, so like after their live stream, he was in the hands-on room, like giving tours and stuff for the Samsung YouTube. Yeah, the dude's made it.
Yeah, his channel is certainly really popular, and I think after he did that whole Ben Gate video.
Yeah, they got 66 million views.
I think it's almost 67 million now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So really smart video he did. He got a iPhone 6S. It looks like a legit prototype, and he got it from Sonny Dixon. And I don't know how Sonny Dixon is sourced, but this guy seems like he's able to get parts before they release. And he got one of these to Lewis Helsentinger, and he did some examinations, and this is what I found to be interesting. So the area specifically that seemed to be prone to bending, mm-hmm, is the area that Apple pretty much doubled in thickness via the prototype that Lou was looking at. And it got me thinking, Apple really played down that whole bend gate thing and made it sound as though they didn't have a big issue on their hands. And do you guys agree? I don't think it was a big deal. It just seems like it was overhyped.
I don't know. I had two bent iPhone 6s.
Yeah,
so
I had one that bent too. I think it was a deal.
But you think it was actually a significant issue for them?
I don't think it was like hugely controversial, I don't think it was huge. Yeah.
I think they downplayed it. I think it was more significant than they admitted.
Okay, yeah. I totally agree with you. I think it was an actual real issue, but they definitely downplayed it. And so what I find interesting about this whole thing is when he had like this device, I don't even know what it's called, that measures thickness. Do you guys know what those things are called? Yeah, maybe like a digital caliper.
A thicker analyzer?
You know, I'm sure that's not what it's called.
I don't know. I get paid to know these things at Tech Insider.
He had a thicker analyzer. he was using it on the iPhone body, and it was almost twice as thick, as I said. And I think that's pretty much a clear admission that Apple knew they had a problem on their hands. Don't you guys think?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if they beefed it up, they had to have known there was an issue. Because if there wasn't an issue, why would they have not just left it exactly as it was?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sound logic here?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Gate confirmed?
Ben Gate confirmed.
I almost said Ben Gay. So. Like, for your muscle sores. yeah, I think this kind of confirms that they actually had an issue. And I guess what we don't really know is whether or not this beefing up of this little section in the phone is going to prevent your iPhone from bending. But it sounds like all you guys are going to find out once you buy your new phones September. Me?
Yeah, I'm going to sit on it and find out.
Don't sit on it, yeah.
That's the very first thing that you should do. Actually, if you want to be really sure whether or not this this new joint will hold, you got to put it in El Caney's back pocket and have him sit on it with his luscious buttocks.
Where is El Caney? Is he still like in Italy?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Just living it up.
Just living the dream over there.
The cult of Mac dream.
He's probably
those Europeans.
Like, yeah, he's probably like 40 pounds heavier. From all the Italian food he's been eating this whole time. So he's going to be perfect for this test for you. Just slip it in his back pocket, have him sit down. If it holds up to the El Caney butt cheeks test, you're golden. You're not going to have to worry about anything. You don't even need to buy insurance at that point. All righty, let's move on to our last segment of the day. Let's talk about the apps we've all been using. I've got some interesting ones that I have been enjoying, and I'm curious to hear what you old chums have been using recently. Does anyone want to go first? How about Alex?
No, I knew you were going to pick me.
Okay.
No.
How about, you know what? Screw you guys. I'll go first. You guys are all being so bashful.
Cool.
Okay, so the first one that I have really been enjoying lately, y'all know that I love to send gifts to people. And there's like this this whole line of apps that you can get from the App Store. They're basically iOS keyboards that you can install that let you, it makes it really easy to send gifts to different people. And one of the ones I have been using is called GIF Keyboard.
Love
and
it.
What's that?
I love it.
And it does exactly what it sounds like it does. It just basically turns your keyboard into a GIF keyboard. This is awesome. I have been keeping track of GIFs for years. One of the services that we covered recently, Buster, I think was one of your previous favorite rave picks, was called gifme.io, I think.
Yeah.
And you can use it to like keep track of GIFs that you find and stuff. And then later you can use their app to insert the URLs for those GIFs. Well, that's just like such an antiquated way to do it. Now with GIF keyboard, you just boot up the keyboard and choose your category, just like you would emojis. There's like love, sadness, anger, all these different categories that you can choose from. And then you just kind of scroll through all the different GIFs that are available from that category. Like, remember the other day, Alex, when I sent you that really cute GIF of Batman making the kissy face?
No.
On Twitter? You didn't see it? Oh,
jeez.
You should check your at replies, jerk.
I don't know. I mean,
so many weekends. Now that the week is.
He's verified.
I've been
you
getting.
Did mine just get buried by all the other at replies?
All these teenage girls asking me to be their daddy. Seriously, stop.
Wait, they want you to be their daddy?
Yeah, they say, be my daddy. I don't know what that means.
That is really weird. Yeah, you would think they would have dads already. So that's my pick, GIF keyboard. I think it's free, actually. Yeah, it is free. Who wants to go next?
I got one.
All right, Buster, what you got?
I found out about this from Apple's designer, Mark Newsom.
Yeah?
It's called Flight Radar 24.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually kind of amazing. It allows you to track every airplane and helicopter in the world. Like,
wow.
It has a big map, and it just shows all of them. It's kind of like, I don't know, there was this, anyway. But yeah, it's just got the big flight control board. It's like $3.99, but it shows you like, you know, the type of airplane, where they're going, altitude, cruising speed. I don't know if it's incredibly useful, but it's just kind of fun to like zoom in on the map and like touch all the planes and be like, oh, where are they going? Oh, Singapore, that'd be kind of cool.
I was going to ask what you would use this for. So
no, I don't know.
It sounds like it's for the enthusiast of people who just want to know what's in the air.
So what I like doing on it is checking out all the private jets, you know, seeing where the private jets are going to and flying from. Like, oh, there's these guys coming back from Japan to San Francisco. That's pretty badass.
Or there's Tim Cook One jettisoning across the
Atlantic.
It's
true. If you did know Apple's private plane numbers, you could totally track Tim Cook.
Oh, you could totally find those out.
And Johnny's. Yeah, you can.
I mean, all you got to do is Google it. I'm sure someone out there knows what they are.
Yeah. But to get to Cook, you got to go through Mansfield, so watch out.
Mansfield One. He's on the move. Okay. $3.99 for an app that tracks all helicopters and airplanes. Sure. Yeah. Come on.
You want it.
I'll check it out right away. Corey, what do you got?
Since I am trying to get fit for my wedding, get off, you know, lose the dad bod.
Dad bods are hot.
Yeah.
Dad bods are hot. I've been using the Nike Plus running app.
Okay.
And you can basically, with all your friends, track who's running the most this week. So you can, you know, challenge each other to, you know, a certain goal. And so, yeah, me, my fiance, and a couple of friends are, you know, trying to, you know, get some miles in running. So that's been cool. I've been using that a lot.
Is that one free or does it have a price?
No, yeah, it's free.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and it just tracks with your GPS, so you don't need like a little sensor in your shoe or anything. And then it works with the Apple Watch too. So I, you know, just use that for running.
So yeah, when it says away. Like, when it says compare to your friends and see how well they're doing, do you actually... Does that actually motivate you? Are you like, oh man, John's beating me in running today. I better go running.
Yeah, it's like really like 50 miles in a month, really, already.
Yeah, like, yeah, seriously. You got to stop being friends with that guy. Okay, yeah. Nike Plus, it's free. Alex.
Wait, Corey has two, doesn't he?
Yeah, but we're sharing one, and then we're going back around.
Oh, yeah. You tricky
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
It's your turn.
I can go all day.
Yeah, he's probably got so many good apps.
Well, it's Labor Day weekend coming up, and then we have Thanksgiving, and then we have Christmas. It's about to be holiday season, and there is an app called...
It's not really that close to holiday season.
Well, yeah. Closer than yesterday. You say that, but let me finish.
All right.
When you're booking airfare... It's actually good to buy for Christmas right now. This is like the best time of year to get a good deal on flights. And there's an app that I've been loving. I've used it for like the past 6 months on flights called Hopper. Mm-hmm. It's a free iPhone app that is founded by this guy who I think either founded or was like really involved with Expedia for a while. And it basically analyzes all of the flights from the major airlines and shows you when is the cheapest time and dates like to fly out. So it like color codes days and tells you what price matches with what color. And then you can watch a flight and it'll alert you at when the flight is dropping, when it's predicted to go back up. It has all of this really cool algorithm stuff that it does to analyze price fluctuations. And it's really awesome. So it'll just send you a notification and be like, hey, you should book that flight for Thanksgiving right now because in a week it's going to go up $30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool.
So it's good at like predicting when...
Yeah, it's like the only app of its kind really that will predict airfare. And it saved me like several hundred dollars before. So pretty cool. And with all the flying later this year that people will be doing, it's actually good to be looking at it right now. And then you can watch the trip and it'll alert you. So check it out, Hopper.
Dang. All right, I'm going to go with another keyboard. I've got so many good apps that I could pitch right now, but I find the ones I'm using a lot these days all have to do with keyboards. Although I will say it's a little disconcerting when you're installing a keyboard and it's like, are you sure you want to give this app full access? Because when you do, the developer will be able to see anything that you type. Do you guys know what I mean? That little warning that pops up when you enable a keyboard.
I never read those.
Oh, you just hit accept and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I get hacked so often and I don't know how to get my password. So that is a little alarming. I don't know what they can see exactly with these keyboards, but apparently according to Apple's warning, they can see everything you type. So just a word of caution there. The other keyboard that I love is called Smiley Key. And I use this one almost every day as well. And I don't even know how to describe this this keyboard. It has, you know, like when you're in a when you're deep in a Reddit thread and people start posting like pictures of faces or of things that are built with characters on the keyboard. Do you guys know what I mean? Like little faces. And stuff.
Yeah.
Or people
like emoticons made out of characters.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if there's like an actual term for that, but
they're called emoticons.
Are they called emoticons? Yeah. Okay. Well, they are emoticons built out of text characters, and I love them. I use them all the time, especially when I'm IMing with people. and Smiley Key 2.0 is free in the App Store. And it's just another keyboard to add to your arsenal of witty replies to people. You know, sometimes you just want to send like a face or someone, you know, making kissy faces with hearts as eyes. And it's just the perfect reply. And so Smiley Key is my second pick. Dang, two keyboards for me. Smiley Key, free. Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Okay, do it, dude.
I've been trying to shoot more video lately on my iPhone.
Yeah?
But yeah, and I used iMovie to edit a lot of it, but iMovie is kind of pretty limited. It's kind of a little bit weak as far as like filtering and adjusting the picture of it.
Yeah?
So I started using this new app called Chromic.
Chromic. Is that C-R-O-M-I-C?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
And it's pretty good, like as far as, as far as like in editing videos, like adjusting contrast, saturation, and details and stuff like that. Plus, they got like a lot of like video filters. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. There's not really, as far as I've found, like a VSCO for video. But it's, I don't know. It's kind of like the closest I've found so far.
When you are editing videos, do you have to export them? Or does it just apply all those effects directly to the video and you're good to go?
You export it.
Okay.
I think you can save it just the same way you do photos. Because with photo editors now, you can save a copy or save it onto the original,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think you export it in Chromic.
Okay. And how long does that take if the video is like 1 or 2 minutes?
No, not that long.
Okay. Yeah, so it doesn't
take 2 seconds.
Like, oh, yeah. Wow. That's no, fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Chromic. How much does it cost, Buster?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably free, I think, though.
I'm going to put that. But I'm literally going to put that. Probably free.
But I think you have to pay for like filters and things.
Oh, yeah. That's probably exactly how it works. It's in-app purchases. Okay. Corey, what you got, buddy?
I've been playing around since getting the new software, the news app for Apple. Uh-huh. I was trying to round with that, but I actually just downloaded this new app called Wildcard, and it shows like news articles from Twitter that, you know, Alex posts or, you know, other people post in line and then, you guys post, and then you can click into it and it shows all the related articles to that topic around the same topic, you know, over the last while. So you mm-hmm. can like really follow a story. Pretty easily. So it's called Wildcard, I think they're just got featured in the App Store, right now. It's
featured right now. Yeah.
Is it free?
Yep.
Okay.
Is this like Nuzzle where it analyzes your Twitter feed to see what people are posting?
Yeah. It's like a mix between that and then like, you know, Circa. Like a Circa or anything like that.
Like yeah. I've pictures in a browser.
Okay. Yeah, I love Nuzzle when I'm like not.
I love the Nuzzle too. Buster especially.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't?
Buster have been using that app for a long time.
Yeah. Before I was using like Paper from Facebook. You can like swipe through different types of head articles, and that's how I use Facebook, is that Paper app. So it's pretty cool.
Alrighty, we have got Wildcard. It's free. I'm surprised I haven't heard about this one. I always like checking out new news apps. Alex, I'm going to let you wrap us on up here, old buddy, old pal. What do you got?
Oh, do me the honor. Another app that's actually, it's I think, being featured in the front of the App Store right now that I've been playing around with is called Darkroom. And I was actually wanting to see about Corey's opinion on this, if he's used it. But it's a new image. Well, it's not new, but it just got upgraded to version 2, which has a bunch of new features. It's basically like this distillation of Lightroom on the iPhone. So it has like a curves adjuster and a lot of really, you know, powerful editing tools that are made simple, which I like. And it lets you make your own filters that you could then, you know, would look like they're from VSCO or something like that, but you made them.
Uh-huh.
And then you can share them. It's got a really cool way of sharing them through Instagram where there's a QR code at the bottom that somebody can take a screenshot of that, and then the app recognizes it and automatically imports that filter from the app's store. But it's just got a lot of, it's got the built-in like white border thing we were talking about, mm-hmm. so you don't have to use a separate app. And I don't know, Corey, have you used it?
Yeah, I was used it pretty early on. I know the creators of it, and it's yeah, it's really well made. You know, reminds me a lot of Lightroom for sure. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't decided if I'm going to switch like completely or use it. I think I'm going to use it like with you know, VSCO and another app maybe. But I like it for just like doing the curve adjustment. That's kind of fun to just like. Swipe up and down on the if you don't know what I'm talking about to the listeners, it's like in Lightroom you can see the curves of like the midtones and the whites and the blacks and the shadows and all that, and you can adjust them on like a curve and you can do that on a curved line, and you can do that with this app. It's kind of the first app I've seen on the iPhone that does that. And it's got some really other detailed editing stuff, but it's a good app.
I'm gonna guess free.
It's free, and then it's like $3 to unlock. Like some of the editing tools are locked off; like you have to unlock them with an internet purchase. And like the curves one, and then I think and then you can get all the filter packs and everything right now. I think for like $6.
Nice. So, do you guys ever use? Oh man, I'm forgetting the name of it now. Starts with an S.
Snapseed.
Snapseed. That's it. Snapseed.
No man. I mean,
that's
I feel like
Snapseed. I keep coming back to. It's like VSCO. No. It's like for you, Corey. VSCO.
I know.
When
I know Corey at least used to use Snapseed. I don't know if you still do.
Yeah. No. It's since Google bought it, it's just kind of gone downhill. Man. The UI of it.
Of it is not. Yeah. They can make it worse.
What about Nlight though? Have you used Nlight, Corey?
Is that the one with the
box? I saw that. Yeah, you can like add like snow behind you and like random stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a little. It's like a Photoshop VSCO mix, and they actually do full res image processing while you're editing, which is one of the only apps I've seen for the iPhone that does that. So usually, even VSCO, VSCO definitely, but most other apps will grade the quality of your photo while you're editing because the app can't process it.
Hmm.
And somehow Nlight built its own engine to where it can do full res image editing, which is awesome, like even in landscape. But that's the only reason I would recommend someone check it out, because it is really full featured. I mean, it's like more than most people would want, but it's kind of pretty good.
You said that was Nlight, right? Right.
Yeah. Nlight.
These are honorable mentions.
Yeah. Nlight.
Okay. Got it. Okay, well, there you go. If you want to check out these apps, they will all be available at thecodecast.com. They're also available in your podcast app because we put all the notes. We embed them into the episode themselves. A lot of people don't know that, so all the notes come with the actual episode in case you want to check something out. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Oh my gosh, Corey, next time we talk to you, you'll be a married man.
I know. Join the club.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah. Good luck with your wedding.
Thank you.
And if people want to follow you, you're available on Twitter and also on Instagram @withhearts in both places, right?
Yep.
Cool. And I'm @Arifon in both places as well. Alex is Alex E. Heath in both places as well, right, Alex?
What's both places again? Twitter
Instagram and Twitter.
No, on Instagram, I'm Alex Heath.
Oh, no, Alex E. Yeah.
No, E.
Brandon, man. Come on,
man.
I know. Consistent. Well, I'm trying to get the Alex Heath on Twitter. I'm trying to get that account.
Oh, yeah. So, he's got to use your connections to do that.
What about Snapchat? What's your snap?
Alex E. Heath on Snapchat. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. See, that's confusing. You got to keep them the same. Buster is BST3R on Instagram and Twitter. Are you snapping, Buster?
I am, but under BSTR.
No. Okay, well, I'm not even on Snapchat, so I guess that's fair enough. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. I want to say thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Check out squarespace.com. Get started in no time building your own beautiful website. And also automatic.com/cult for $20 off your automatic link adapter. All right, guys, that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Can't turn it off. Yeah, I just woke up for a nap, so I gotta get warmed up, you know?
You're getting warm.
The show.
getting heated up. Yeah. It's going to be a hot show, too.
Oh, my gosh. A lot of sex appeal on this show.
There's just going to be so many sexy people on this one show.
I don't know if people can handle it.
I don't know if people are going to be able to listen to the entire thing. They're probably going to tune in like 5 minutes in.
They're just going to need to take a break, put it on pause, fan themselves.
Get some ice water.
Yeah. Maybe even take a little dip in the pool.
It's too bad they'll be listening to this at the end of the show because they will have missed the warning until the very end.
It's okay. No, well, you know, for the people that do the repeats. So, that's why I overheated.
Did you end up getting heat stroke? No, you know why.